Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's show, and tonight we are going to keep it, I don't know how we're going to keep it. Usually these things have a tendency to, you know, you read certain things and you get all a little excited, and I get a little excited anyway, then I start speaking a little Canadian, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and with good reason. You ever wonder now why some of the media is backtracking? You know, the Danish newspaper, one of the major newspaper publications in the Scandinavian area, is now apologizing. They're apologizing to the Danes. It's a little bit late, don't you think? 80% of the population got these effing jabs, and now we're apologizing because we didn't do our job. We didn't investigate the way we should have. Now, I'm pointing this out not just for the Scandinavian countries, but for all of the whole planet, because Australia got it up the rear end sideways, so did New Zealand. They're trying to do it here in Canada and America. Well, the Americans are basically smarting up a lot quicker than Canadians did. Canadians are still, you know, don't know what planet they're on. You know, five of the provinces are still kind of wondering if they should, you know, turn the light on or turn the light off, and the other four are fighting, and you know, fighting a battle on two fronts. And then we got a prime minister calling everybody who isn't taking the jab, making racial comments, white supremacist. Imagine that. This is the same guy that put shoe polish on his skin and wore a turban three times. Three, not one, not two, but three times. Was he mocking the people of color? Was he insulting ethnic culture in a country that is multicultural? And then he has the audacity to make a comment because people have exercised their rights of free choice not to take a lethal dose of some kind of experimental, you know, white supremacist. I don't see anywhere in Canada, first and foremost, where I've ever seen a white person ever, ever. I have seen people of European descent. I have seen people of Caribbean descent, African descent, Latin American descent, Russian descent, Polish, Yugoslavian, Hungarian, Welsh, Scottish, Irish, French, you know, people of culture and ethnicity of all kinds. And what, Ukraine, and a whole bunch of others. I mean, I've seen all kinds here walk here. And he has the audacity. He doesn't have any testicular fortitude, that's for sure. But he has the audacity to make a comment at a Quebec interview calling everybody misogynistic and a white supremacist. I don't think any time in history, anywhere, really, where people, who laborers, had any kind of supremacy. They were just as much a slave as anybody else. They were targeted because everyone thought they had special privileges, but they didn't have any special privileges. They were the prototype of what was to come. Oh yeah, they gave them the jobs, but they also gave them the drugs, and then they put all kinds of stress and terror upon them, threatening them that if you didn't toe the line, you'd be back in some ghetto somewhere, and somebody there with dark skin might, you know, assault you or kill you. They played that race game, you know, to a T. I was just talking to a buddy of mine in the UK, you know, and he's got a suntan, you know, he's a little darker than I am, and we talk all the time. We're pretty straight out with each other. And I was saying to him, you know, how, you know, wherever we grow up, there's always this bullshit about setting culture and races against each other. It never fails. And the root cause of the problem, and the prime minister has proven this, is the government itself. Canada's been divided now, what, since the 80s over linguistics? Can you imagine that? Communication issues, what has separated this country all this time? Because of the leaders in government. Provincial leader and a federal leader created the rift that we have today that we have lived with all this time. And we've never, and I have all kinds of friends of mine who are of French descent from Quebec. No one, you know, we have a good time. We never have a problem. We don't care. Bottom line is this: when you are where we are at today, you're nothing but a slave. Whether you're in Quebec, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, PEI, Ontario, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC, the territories, you're nothing but a slave in this country. They pay you very little, they work your ass off, and then they tax the shit out of you and tax everything you buy. You know, they just keep you in a state of slavery. And then they had the audacity of saying, well, we have these white supremacists. Who's got any supremacy here? Banks do. Corporations do. Drug companies run this country. Drug companies had the prime minister in his back pocket. In their back pocket. Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, probably the Chinese one and the Russian one too. And they are, and then he has the audacity to tell people, making this a racial profiling. He should be removed for non-competence. He should be removed for sedition. Okay, because he's creating a civil unrest in this country. If I did that, they'd arrest me. If anybody else did that, they would be arrested. Creating seditious actions in this country. That's what he did. That's what he did. So you got this nonsense going on. Because if you exercise your rights in Canada, and you stand for your rights in Canada, and you actually state and quote the federal guidelines in Canada regarding to vaccinations, that they are not mandatory in this country, then you all of a sudden you become targeted by the drug companies, by the corporations, by the banks, and then by the government. The government leads the charge because they are bought and paid for like prostitutes on the street corner to assault their own people. So now you got the Danish newspaper saying, we apologize. We should have been more vigilant. We should have been more looking at the research. Hell, the research has been out there for 2 years at the dangers of these vaccinations. The reason why they're saying this now, because it ain't going to matter. They got the numbers of people jabbed. They will now start to die off. They don't care if you got the jab or not. Canada will be forever the last one. Because we don't have leadership in this country. Nobody here in this country has enough balls to take a stand and say, well, you know what? The United States has gotten rid of the passport. You know, Florida's not doing it. Texas is not doing it. You know, the Midwest is not doing it. Europe has gotten rid of it. Denmark's gotten rid of it. You know, other countries have gotten rid of it. And yet we're going to continue doing it because we have to do it. We have to follow the protocol. We have to obey. We are nothing but a bunch of, you know, this is the leadership. Now, I'm not talking about the people of Canada. I'm talking about the leadership. You know, we have to, you know, follow the leader. Monkey see, monkey do. Bunch of monkeys running the parliament. And this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're accepting in this country. He should be removed. Non-confidence. All of them. O'Toole, Singh, the whole bunch of them. Even the leader of the Quebec. Gone. Gone. All of them. They are not representing the people's interests. They never made a referendum. We had a statistic here. They're doing a survey here. If mandatory vaccine should be mandatory, 77% said no. They took that board down so fast. If it had stayed up the rest of the day, it would probably have been closer to 90% would have said no. That's the 77% that voted. I didn't even know that was out there. I would have said no. So they took that down. So they're realizing now, or they're starting to realize now, and they're going to come so apologetic. Oh, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. We didn't mean to kill the population. We should have been more vigilant. We should have studied it better. We were just following orders. We just did what the experts told us. Like Ford, the other day, I was listening, probably it was an older video where he was saying that, you know, if you don't listen to your health minister, you're done. Does the health minister in the province of Ontario, are they being paid on the drug company's payroll? Are they on Pfizer's payroll? Are they on Moderna's payroll? Because obviously they're not on our payroll. Are they getting money from AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson? Because if we don't listen to them, you're done? You're done. You got elected by the people. People put you in power. According to our charter and all the other bullshit that they say we have, that it was our vote that put you in. Or was it a selection by the drug companies who was being represented by the health ministers? So you got to think a little bit. When these guys talk this bullshit that they talk, and they say, if you don't listen to your health minister, you're done. Who the hell is a health minister? Did he get elected? Did somebody elect him, or was he appointed by the government? See, we're not paying attention. We're asleep at the wheel here. When you hear bullshit like that, you should be questioning who put the health minister in power. Was it the people of Ontario? Did they vote for this guy? No, he was appointed. Who appointed him? Was it the council? Was it the premier? Or was it AstraZeneca? Or was it Johnson & Johnson? Or was it Moderna? Or was it Pfizer? You know, who appointed them? Like I said, they're going to apologize now. How many of you lost your moms and dads and grandparents and uncles and aunts over this bullshit? How many of you lost kinfolk that won't even talk to you because you didn't get the jab? How many? They're going to apologize for that. How many of you lost your jobs? Can't get into your place of employment because you don't have the jab. You don't have the QR code. How many? Well, we're sorry. We're sorry. We should have looked into it more. Ford had about $2 or $3 million when he started in office. He's up to $50 million. I tell you what would be really good if we took that $50 million from him and we distributed it all across the province and leave him as $3 million. That's what he came in with. He stays with that. The other $50 million can go. Goes back to the province. He caused the damage, didn't he? Same with the council. How many of these council people have made buku bucks since they've been in power, since all this bullshit has happened? How about that money's all taken away from them and redistributed all across the province? That's your local government, too, your mayors and your council in the cities that you reside in. How much money did they make while this was going on? That should all be taken away. That should be all compensation to the people who have lost their businesses, lost their homes, lost their jobs, had to face the indignation because they were looked as outcasts because the government created this racial divide, calling them white supremacists. Even though they might be dark-skinned, even though they might be from Africa, even though they might be from the Caribbean, they're white supremacists. Hey, white boy. Get your shot. No. You supremacist, you. You know, I never thought I'd ever see this shit like this today. I never thought we'd have seen it again. Seen it once, went through it, and now we're going through it again. But this time, again, and they're weaponizing this against everybody. Against everybody. Unbelievable, you know, unbelievable. We are in a quagmire here, and you know, I wanted to start the show with this, because you're going to see a lot more of this now coming out of Europe and other countries. Now France wants to beat the hell out of their own people with more bullshit because people are not getting the jab. They're obviously losing money. He's not making enough money now. his perks and his profit was contingent on how many people took the jab and died. So now not enough people are taking the jab anymore, and not enough are dying, so now he's losing money. He's mad. He's mad now because he's got, you know, maybe a couple whores on the side or, you know, tagging him for money. He's got, you know, bought a car he can't afford. He's living in a mansion he can't afford. He needs that money. So you got to think this way. You have to understand, he's just like anybody else. Politicians are just, they're more irresponsible than the general population. There was actually a study done about the Canadian Parliament one time, and how about 80 or 90% of them were caught with some sort of embezzling activity going on, and the majority of them would have been in jail if it wasn't for their position. And they can't control their spending either. They piss money away like water. So when somebody comes along and offers them $1 million, a couple $100,000, whatever, a house, a boat, whatever, a couple of mistresses, some drugs, hey, they're on, they're in it. They're ready to go. That's what we're dealing with. That's the mentality we're dealing with today. And again, everybody needs to smarten up on this. So be prepared for more apologies coming from the media. Because the media is about to get its ass handed to it hard. If it already hasn't started, because a lot of people have quit reading the newspapers, quit buying the products on the radio, products on television. All this media shit that they're advertising, people are no longer getting in on the game. They're not spending the money. They ain't got the money to spend. You took away their livelihood. Imagine that. We all know about the crisis going on, right, with the merchandise and supplies. We're hearing it all the time. There's going to be a shortage. And it's already started. It's already, you can see it here and there, that it's already started. And again, you need to start, you know, getting dry goods as much as you can, like dried milk, dried egg powder, dried gelatin, dried collagen. These are things that have protein, dried potato. Make sure the potato doesn't have anything in it except for maybe some kind of sulfur or a phosphorus. And the reason why you want some kind of sulfur in the dehydration part of that is because a potato, when heat hits a potato, it creates something called acrylamide. And acrylamide is notorious for causing breast cancers for women. So if you are going to cook a potato in oil, use either onion, garlic, MSM, or some kind of sulfur or a calcium. Whether it be a calcium chloride, like a salt, or a yogurt, or a kefir, or even milk. Let them soak in the milk for a while. Let them absorb some of the milk so that when you cook them, whether you fry, bake, or broil, they won't release the acrylamide. If you're making a mashed potato, that'll be fine because it's not being cooked in an oil. Because again, you're going to put milk in it anyway when you whip up your potatoes. So that's where your calcium will come in. So this is some of the things that you want to get now while you can. Canned goods, canned potato, canned carrots, canned celery root, canned beets. Avoid the corn, pea, and soy. They're all highly estrogenic and genetically engineered. You want to avoid that because if that's all you got to eat, you will wind up with some kind of cancer. So try to get root-based vegetables as much as you can. You can stockpile, like buy potatoes, plant them, so that next year you'll have a crop, or if you can, if you have the season for it, or grow them in the greenhouse. Okay, so we're looking at, inventory getting weak, getting a little thin. So this is for the truck drivers. I'm an ex-truck driver, and we had autonomous truck driving back in the 80s. They were experimenting with it then, and they were running it up down I-75. GM had a truck in at the time they were experimenting with. Now they're saying they've got it perfected, autonomous long-haul vehicle. This is so that if you don't have enough drivers, see, you can't get drivers to drive anymore. Any owner-operator, anybody who's going to drive truck today has to be rich to drive. Okay, give you an example. When I was driving back in the 80s, we were making $1 a mile. At that time, diesel was like 84 cents a gallon in the U.S. I think it was about $1.30 in Canada. Well, a guy could make a living doing that because you got to remember, you got a truck payment, you got insurances, you got permits, you got insurances, you got all kinds of stuff you got to pay out of your wage, and that comes out of your pocket, not the government or the company's pocket. See, the government doesn't subsidize us; we all have to come out of our pocket. So when you're making a buck a mile and diesel's about 85 cents a gallon U.S. as opposed to making a buck a mile today and diesel's $5 a gallon, you ain't going to get out to anybody out there to drive. You're only making about a buck for every 5 miles you're driving. Think about that. The limitation to drive a truck is about 550 miles a day. That means you only made about $110, or $105, sorry. That's what a truck driver will make in a day. Whereas before he was making almost triple. Yeah, but like I said, everything came out of it. So out of that $105 that he's making in a day, he has to buy fuel with that money. Well, I should say the $105 is left over. Okay. Because for every 5 miles he's driving, four of those dollars are going back in the tank. And if a truck's only getting like 5.6 to 6 miles to a gallon, you can see where it becomes a difficult, a challenge to make a living. So you ain't going to get drivers to pretty much drive anymore. Companies have to hire truck drivers to drive the trucks, and a lot of companies don't pay these drivers that much either. The hours are shitty, the week is long, and the moment you're ready to book off time, they want you to take another load. It's a bullshit industry, really. It's an evil necessity because that's the way they designed it. But now they got these automatic trucks driving, which is now going to put even more stress on the owner-operators that are out there now. Because if you can drive a truck up and down the highway without having to pay a buck a mile for a truck driver, and all you got to pay is the fuel and maintenance of the truck, you can make money because there's one less expense you have to worry about. So this is going to come into play, and we're going to see more and more things on the autonomous level going to be replacing your jobs. And the reason why I brought this up is so that those of you who have been working, you need to start thinking in terms of supply and demand. What's going to be in demand in the future? If everybody's job is being taken away from them, and now some machine is doing the job for you, then what can you offer? What can you supply? How can you serve to make a living? Whether through barter or cash. Again, I'm trying to get you to think here a bit. If they're bringing this in now, another 5 years, this will be entrenched. So again, I'm trying to get you to get a perspective here. It's not doom and gloom. This is like, okay, let's get ready. You know, storm is coming. Let's get the ark up and running. Let's get the ark going. You know. 7G. I've been talking about 7G, and here's another article today that came out on 7G. Let me read this to you. See, everyone keeps talking to me about 5G. Keep trying to get everybody caught up, but they want to stay on 5G. So I figure, you know what, stay behind. I'm moving forward. A team at Leti, a research institute in CA Tech, Grenoble, France, has achieved a visible light communication, VLC, testbed transmission at 7.7 gigabytes per second. Almost 8G. Significantly exceeding the previous 5.1 gigabyte per second record. Using a single 10 micrometer diameter gallium nitride blue micro LED. Blue micro LED. You can now change the brain pattern of anybody because that will go through the eyes and you can now deliver whatever you like. You can even affect the shape of the brain with that. They are not waiting for you to get caught up. Military-industrial complex is, as I said in the last show, 20 or 30 years ahead. And you need to start looking at these things that I'm expressing anyway, as somebody and others are expressing. Because if you stay in that 5G loop, you ain't never going to get nowhere. And by the time you figure it out, you may not be able to get caught up. Okay, and by that time, your brain might be turned into mashed potato. They have waged war. You ever, you know, you've heard the terminology, right? And regarding to military's code is to, you know, defend against anything abroad or at home. Well, who's invading at home? Nobody. But now, you are the enemy. You are the enemy. You, if you live inside of Canada or the United States or Europe or anywhere in the world, you are the enemy. And they've been targeting you since the 60s and the 50s. They have been waging war on the citizenship of the respective countries of the planet. And when you start seeing this stuff coming out, don't think for one minute this is for your benefit. They could give a rat's backside about you. This is about you in regarding to controlling you or controlling technology that will control you. Can't put the cell phone down, perhaps because it's firing some blue beam into your brain and it's keep making you hang on to it so it can continue to integrate with your DNA. Ever think that? Just a thought. Now the military is now flying 130 drones at one time with one guy. If you need to get a guy out in the field, he can now have a swarm using a virtual reality control. Imagine that. AI on one end, AI on the other end, and a guy monitoring the whole game. Game. Imagine that. I'm heading up north, man. I'm going where it's safe. There's 130 drones coming at me. Holy jumping. What am I going to do? Start thinking. When you read anything, I don't care what it is, they're going to schmoozle you into thinking this is really going to be good for you, going to be nice for you, it's going to make your life easier and better. Nothing, and I mean nothing, that they are presenting to you to this day is there to make your life happier. It's there to prepare you to be assaulted by the very thing that they're telling you is going to comfort you. Television, assault on your mind. Radio, an assault of your on your cells and on your DNA. EMFs, again, assaulting on your DNA and controlling your brain and biochemistry. Chemtrails, loading you up with operating systems and programs. Remember they said, we gotta cool the planet down. We gotta make sure the planet gets cooled down. So we're spraying all this shit in the air so that we can protect the planet. They use that as a weapon to kill you. To load you up with technology that can is now assemble inside of you. Then you got these goofy doctors that come on the air, they're in the so-called alternatives, they're propagating that they know what they're seeing and they're having a clue. You ever notice not one doctor has really talked about chemtrail nano poisoning or nano assembly from chemtrails or any kind of nano operating system? They don't, you know why? Because they don't have a clue. They're 20 years behind. At least 20 years behind. And then when they're saying that they've seen the vaccines and they've seen all these things going on, they don't know what they looked at. They have no clue. They're saying, you know, one part of that component assembling, getting itself prepared to insert itself into your DNA. These are operating systems that they're released from in the sky. These are operating systems designed to get inside you, become activated, and infect or break you down through some means of epigenetics. Whether it's some sort of protein anomaly, PNA, you know, GNA, XNA. XNA would be the main one they would be using, because XNA, they can take anything, and I mean anything. and release it into you, and your body will never recognize that it's a foreign component because XNA can replicate your DNA. Are they going to tell you this?
No.
Why would they? Why should they? They laugh at us every day. We got the mushroom treatment. They keep on feeding us the mushroom treatment. Feed them a lot of shit and keep them in the dark. That's exactly what they're doing. I'm trying to get you to start looking at things from a different angle, from a different level. You don't have the time or the luxury to be comfortable thinking you're safe. You're not. You looked at Colorado a couple weeks ago. Look what happened to those neighbors in that neighborhood in Colorado. They either turned on the smart meter and they made everybody put those damn things on your houses so that for this very reason, because now Americans and Canadians and everyone else has got these damn smart meters, can now be assaulted and you cannot track or tag that to anybody or anything. But when you see a whole section, a whole region of an area burning up and the flames are not high enough to transfer from one house to the next, small little flames burning on the side of the building rather than engulfing the whole house, that's got to make you think a little bit, don't you think? When you see the streets, roads not even being touched, trees are not even scorched. One house is blown to smithereens, another one hardly any damage, if any. Does that make you kind of pay attention? Does that not make you beg to ask the question, how did that happen? How could that happen? Seen a beam of light come down and hit these houses and all of a sudden they exploded into flames. What is that? Is that some new laser technology that the military is exploring? Or is it some alien from the dark side of the universe? Came all the way to Earth just to fire a beam of light just to piss you off. Is that what that was all about? They're now putting towers in the ocean, bottom of the ocean. And then they're blaming that the tiger shark now is leaving the oceans and going further north into the Arctic where it's cooler. And then they have the audacity to say it's global warming. Did anybody ever think perhaps we should change the terminology instead of calling it global warming, calling it global microwaving? So they put these things down in the ocean so that you could transmit frequencies anywhere in the ocean. And they tell you that when you read the article. But for the signal to get through the water, 5G wouldn't do it. Too much resistance, too much whatever. But 6G would. 6G would fly through there like lightning. Because 6G would use the hydrogen in the water as it released it to create a superconductive element there to go from terminal to terminal. 7G may as well. You got to remember, in 6G, you got microwave and you got infrared, and the infrared is what penetrates. 5G doesn't have that capacity. It has very limited search or limited reach. Imagine that. Towers in the bottom of the ocean. Who are we talking with down there? Who's got a cell phone at the bottom of the ocean? George, you got a cell phone down there? Yeah, I'm talking to you from the antenna here. It's pretty cool. We can talk to each other. Wow, I didn't know anybody was down there. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense whatsoever? But microwaving the water, that would cause a global warming. A lot of you have taken water, put in a glass, and throw it in the microwave for 30 seconds, right? And it heats up the water very quickly. Imagine an ocean full of salt and other elements, and you fired a microwave through the water. How much heat would that create? They're complaining that whales and dolphins are dying, or they're what's the term, confused, disorientated. Their brain is, they've used 20% of their brain functionality. These animals are smart, not stupid. Killer whales, orcas, whales, they 20% of their brain function. They use more of the brain than we do. And they're in those oceans where these things are being fired off. There's a video you can go watch from Iran. It's an old one where they targeted a heart frequency at the time. And they wiped out a whole pod of dolphins with these frequencies. Imagine now you got them in the ocean. Even the sharks are saying, we're out of here. And they're going toward colder waters because of the microwaving going on in the ocean. So whenever you hear that the earth is getting warmer, and temperatures have gone up 1 or 2 degrees, perhaps maybe it's because that the oceans are being heated up. Maybe because they are being microwaved. Maybe. And the sharks are saying, you know what? I'm not for dinner, not tonight, and takes off. Like I said, we are at war. We've been at war for a long time. Canadians need to realize that the Canadian government is not going to slow down. They're going to continue doing their bullshit. And you know why they're going to continue doing their bullshit? Because everybody else has done it. So now we have to do it too. UK did it. We have to do it. France did it. We have to do it. Germany did it. We have to do it. Luxembourg did it. We have to do it. Italy did it. We have to do it. Spain, Portugal did it. We have to do it. I mean, Canada is monkey see, monkey do. We don't have a premier in this country or a prime minister or anybody in parliament that's got two brain cells to create a spark. None of them have the ability to create a spark. And then they have the audacity to come out there and create a frenzied panic among the general population because the general population doesn't know how to read anymore. General population has lost its capacity to be able to discern correctly the information that's out there. And they won't even make the attempt to read the information because monkey see, monkey do is what is going on here in this country. It's like that theme in The Matrix when he said that, you know, his predecessor, the previous program, didn't like emotions. He liked dealing with facts. Facts, but they found that facts were harder to implement. But get somebody in the realm of emotion, and he says they will contend with whatever you give them as long as they're comfortable in their environment. You can shit, piss, dump acid, whatever in the environment, and people will accept that as long as they have their comfort. They will do whatever they're told. Unfortunately, that's Canada. Unfortunately, the bulk of Canada. Not everybody in Canada, but the bulk of Canada. We don't have any leadership here. Forget it. Ain't happening. You know, when a guy is telling you that the health minister has more authority than he does and he's the premier of the province, then we better start examining who's actually running the province. Who is calling the shot here in Ontario? Who's calling the shot in Alberta? Who's calling the shot in BC? Who's calling the shots in Quebec? The other provinces aren't doing anything, so we don't have to worry about who's calling the shots there. We know pretty much know that they're done anyway. They're not going to do anything. If they do something, they better get with it. They better start recognizing who's calling the shot. If the health minister of a specific province is telling, if the premier is telling, if you don't listen to him, him or her. Imagine that. This is the guy that's supposed to be the head honcho in charge of the province and running the province and making sure it's flowing and it's regulated and money flows and everybody's prosperous and the laws are there to keep everything fair and square. And he is telling that he has to listen to a health minister? Why hasn't he called a referendum? We already did a tally here, a toll. 77% said no. What's that telling the premier? Maybe I better go ask the health minister, see if that's okay. Oh, better take it down. Okay, we'll take it down. Dumbass. Dumbass. I think that's an insult. That's an insult to the jackasses, you know. The mules are out in the field. You know, call somebody a dumbass. Well, I think that's an insult. You know, got to come up with some other line. I mean, like I said, and one way though, I got to say, on their behalf, and I got to say it on their behalf, they got away with it because everybody let them. You know, and that's unfortunate. I get the fact that nobody knew what was going on at the beginning. So I did. I knew what was going on because I recognized the technology because I was already exposed to the technology. So, again, I can't expect everybody to see it the way I saw it because I was already exposed to it. But as time has gone on and more doctors have come out and stated, now the unfortunate thing in Canada is we don't have too many doctors here to have any testicular fortitude anymore either. Too many of them are listening to the health minister. Or should I say the drug company's representative? Maybe that's a better terminology. We don't have a health minister. We have a representative of the drug company, the pharmaceutical company in power, dictating policy to the premier. Okay, this is how you're going to do things today there, Bob, Bill, George, Fred, and Sam. Okay. Boy, oh boy. You know, and then you get, you know, then you get into other areas there where, you know, you got the information that you get about people shedding, and then you go to make sure that people in your store, you know, are safe, and you don't want to allow people in the shop or your shop, and so that they don't come in and contaminate people who aren't jabbed. Then they get rid of you, remove you. Well, and this has gone on not just to me, but other merchants as well. So, like I said, when we're seeing what we're going on today and what's happened today, we need to recognize that this is a war. Anything that I read, when I read the scientific journals, and you might say I'm negative, and you might call me jaded or whatever, but the way I look at it, I'm very objective. And I've been around long enough to have seen the pattern in life go on for a long time. That everything that they have given us, every convenience that they have supposedly gave us, has been used to make war against us, or to damage us, or to create a dependency on the tech. So without that tech, you know, again, that's another form of control. How many of you today can take your cell phone and throw it in the garbage? How many of you? How many today can take the information off your cell phone, put it all on a computer, you know, have a landline with an answering machine, if you need one, and use that instead of the cell phone? How many can take it, like I said, cell phone, and throw the damn thing in the garbage? The tech that we're dealing with today, that they have given us to play with, whether it be a computer, iPad, cell phone, quantum computers, supercomputers, whatever is out there, computer microchips in your cars, implants in your body, has been designed to specifically analyze you, analyze your behavior, understand who and what you are more than you do, and then apply that information against your fear so that they can further control you. I was watching a movie called Devs, D-E-V-S, or D, actually it should be do, or Deus, or Deus, or do. And the word means God, and it also means Zeus, do. So I'm watching this thing, and I went through it because it had a quantum computer in there. I'm watching this thing, and I'm like, holy shit. You know, this is astounding what they're showing us. And the potential that this thing can do. And it was interesting because, again, this will be a spoiler. I've been telling you for the longest time that AI needs to assimilate people in order to function and to carry on. And the whole time when you're watching the show, you don't really get to, until you get to the very end and understand the title of the company, DEVS. The V actually stands for the Roman numeral 5. So, and when you actually look at the word, it again means God. And the point they make at the end is that this is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing. Basically, they were calling AI God. Imagine that. Imagine that. So when we're looking at what's going on today and some of the things, and you see the pattern of assimilation, collecting data, collecting information all about you. Did you ever think about this for 1 minute? Because in the end, they get assimilated. Two people die at the end, and they get assimilated by the artificial intelligence, incorporated into an algorithm. So now they are living in a holographic reality that the AI has created, which is just as real as reality, just as real as your reality and mine. And the only difference is that the other people that are in there, the other algorithms, don't know the difference. These two did because they were assimilated and they were translocated into an algorithm. When you see that, and then you begin to understand that every little detail, the corporate surveillance that we were listening to the other day on the other show, collecting every little nuance about you so they can find some hook to get you into where they want you to be, to manipulate you to buy or to consume either a product or a service. All that information is being gathered and stored in an AI database. That AI knows more about you and your habits than you do. That's a dangerous, dangerous machine. If something happened and you were accused of a crime you didn't commit, that machine knows every which way to come after you, and that information then would be relayed to law enforcement, and they could take you out. You would never know what happened. This technology is so dangerous. I was telling a friend of mine today that this technology should be burned. Light a match and set it on fire and never look back. The problem, that'll never happen, because the problem we have right now is we have people in power that look at this as the ultimate weapon. Putin said whoever controlled AI would be basically king. Nobody will control AI. Nobody. Israel won't control it. They think they will. They'll never get it. They're not that smart, number one. Russia will never get it either. Neither will China. They're not that smart. America won't get it either. They're not that smart. Canada won't get it. Nobody will get it. They don't understand it. What they're seeing is an overlay. The real AI is what they'll never get to. But whoever understands and can control quantum computing will definitely have an advantage over everybody else, because the rate of speed and accuracy that they'll have as this keeps going in order to subjugate whoever, and for it to be able to foresee. Now, this is an interesting word, foresee. Because if I can collect enough data on you, when you wake up, when you go to bed, what you have for breakfast, what you're watching in the morning, what you're listening to on the radio, what you're listening to in your car you're driving, when you're driving, the times you're out, the times you're in, When I have, if I have all that information about you, what you do for a living, how many hours a day you work, the wages you earn, your bank accounts, your social security, social insurance, you know, if I have that much data on you, I can predict with a good high level of accuracy, about 94% to 97% accuracy, when you need to buy something, when you're going to go out, where you're going to go, and if you are going to go out to put in your way or in your path, whether through a computer, cell phone, or whatever, where to go, what to do, and how to do it. Some of you know how some of you feel like you got a feeling to do something, you got this sensation to go out and buy something or to go out somewhere, meet somebody, you know, like you feel like you got this psychic connection. Maybe it ain't a psychic connection. Maybe it's an AI connection. And maybe the AI is directing you to see how much control it has exerted on you and how to increase its efficiency in being able to predict what you're going to do. Imagine that. Something to think about. Something to something to look at, because that's the reality we're living in today. That is the reality we're living in today. Some of you are not going to get this right away. A lot of people I talk with, who I associate with, and who I integrate with, we're all seeing different aspects of this. Seeing a time shift, seeing things changing, seeing what I call the AI effect. I was calling the Mandela effect, but I call the AI reorientation, the shifting of parallels and time. These things are happening right under our noses, but we're not realizing that. I'll give you an example that may help you see something. Some might think it's crazy, but that's okay. You know, I've been called worse. You know how you put something down and you put it on the table and you know where you put it and you turn around and you look back and you can't see the bloody thing. And then all of a sudden you start, you know, speaking Canadian. Where did I put that? And then before you know it, you look again and there it is. That could be a time shift. That could be a parallel shift going on right under your nose. And you wouldn't recognize it for that because you wouldn't know what to look for. I got a lot of people telling me that too. And a lot of this also could be because of all these frequencies we're beginning hit with. Those frequencies could be jamming the signals from the eye to the object from returning. It could also be that too. So start looking at things in today's time. Not 100 years ago, but in today's time. That's when you're going to start understanding what we're really dealing with today, the frequencies and how they can affect us, and why what we need to do to defend ourselves against frequencies. I'm going to talk a little bit real quick. A buddy of mine sent me an email saying I should touch on how people can get off of prescription drugs. All right. There's a lot of you on all kinds of drugs for all kinds of things. And to touch on everything that all of you are on, there's not enough time in a year. Some of you, I'm surprised that a lot of you are still alive taking all these drugs that the doctors have prescribed. Some of you are taking about 10 or 20 drugs. I'll tell you a story, true story. I had a guy come see me in Windsor about 15 years ago. And the guy was a Chrysler worker who was and he had retired. And he had a medical package. And he went to two or three doctors and they all wrote him a script. And he couldn't get out of bed. He couldn't get off the couch. He'd get up, get to the couch, he had to lay back down again. He had just absolutely no power left in him whatsoever. None. So he comes into my shop. He heard about me. He comes to my shop and brings me 12 bottles of shit he was taking. So I'm looking at his stuff and I'm dividing it up. And he says to me, can you give me something that will do what these do? I said, okay, let me take a look. So I'm looking at all his drugs. What they did was one doctor would give him one drug, another doctor would give him another drug that would conflict with the first drug that the first doctor gave. And some of them had a compounding effect or synergistic effect. In other words, if you took this drug and you took this drug with it, it would make this drug stronger. So his liver and his kidneys and his endocrine system as well, his adrenal glands, they were just burning out, trying to filter all this shit out of his body. So I had explained to him what was going on with the drugs and what each drug did and what they one did and what the other one stopped the other one from doing. So I gave him about 8 different vitamins to take, told him to take them every 3 hours, and to wean yourself off the drugs. And what I meant by that was, okay, Monday you took the drugs, your dose of whatever you took, and you took the supplements 5 times a day. Tuesday you didn't take the drug. Wednesday you took, but you did the supplements. You do the supplements every day, every 3 hours, but the drugs, you first month you get them off, every other day. Because I couldn't have him quit cold turkey because he'd been on these damn things for 10 years or longer. They were killing him, literally. So every other day, he was not doing the medications, but he was taking the supplements. And then I changed his diet. No bread, no pasta, no rice, no cereal, no grains, no soy, no quinoa, no buckwheat, no oatmeal, no butter, none of that shit. I had him get up in the morning, have him high-fat, high-protein diet. Eggs, bacon, whatever, potato, meat, eggs, He wanted to eat I told him any kind of root, and again, same thing, root-based vegetables. So I got him on that. And I hadn't seen him for 3 months. Came back once to renew his vitamins, and then I didn't see him for another month, 2 months after that. The guy lost 30 pounds. You would never recognize him. He had blood flow back into his face. His eyes were alive again. He said he'd been out and about, and he'd been moving around, and he'd been active, and hadn't felt that good in 20 years. There's a method to getting off of these medications. I had a friend of mine, another one, and she was on about 10 of them. She got off of all but one. Some kind of benzo. Those benzos, I'm telling you, they are something else. Anyway, but she got better. And I've had success like this. Now, on my website, there is a link called Drug Free. It's a good place to start. That will help a lot of you. It doesn't necessarily mean you are on street drugs, but even prescription drugs, because you are hooked as junkies to the pharmaceutical industry. That will help a lot of you. The key factor in that method that's there is to take a bunch of B vitamins and go to sleep. So while you're sleeping, the level of toxicity of these drugs that they've given you diminishes and drops lower and lower and lower. But in the same interim, you're incorporating a B complex or other vitamins like vitamin A, vitamin B5, vitamin C for adrenal support. You're taking stuff for the heart like taurine, magnesium, potassium, CQ10, hawthorn leaf tea. You're doing stuff for the liver like NAC with vitamin C, or alpha-lipoic acid with vitamin C, or MSM with vitamin C, and then maybe you're taking a burdock, dandelion tea to help again clean the liver. There's more than one way of doing these things. I'm just throwing these out sporadically for you. And in a period of time, you may find all of a sudden you don't need these damn drugs anymore. You don't need to be tethered. You don't need to be chained. You don't need to be cuffed to a pharmaceutical industry. Some you're worried about because you ain't gonna be able to refill your prescription drugs if you don't get the jab. F the drugs. I don't remember God putting a drug dispenser in our bodies when he built us, did he? I get the fact that you got hooked. I do get that. But you gotta start thinking in terms of, instead of getting a refill, which doesn't fix your problem anyway. All it does is keeps you in a state of addiction. Then perhaps maybe it's time to quit the drugs. unless you're rich and don't care. So I grew up poor. I didn't have money. You know, I grew up, I didn't have a silver spoon up my ass. So drugs was not something we used. you toughed it out. You know, fell down, scuffed your knee, threw iodine or mercuricome on your knee. You were dancing for about 5 minutes. You screamed and hollered, put a Band-Aid on, and away you went. That was it. That was the extent of it. That was the extent of your medical. The strongest thing we took back in those days was an aspirin. It wasn't until I got to high school and I got a hold of some cannabis. And I wasn't doing it for medicinal purposes either. But I got to know what cannabis will do. So that's how we kind of grew up. You know, if you needed to go to a doctor, you went. If you needed something to get done, it got done. But, you know, I mean, I've had surgery done where I told the doctor I wasn't looking for morphine. Then they would talk to me and say, well, you need it. And I would tell them, well, I don't want to get addicted. He said, don't worry about it. You won't get addicted. He says, that's other people. And he explained that too. So, you know, but morphine is a god-awful drug. God is a god-awful. You're sitting in bed and you're sitting straight up and you feel like your brain is 10 feet above you doing 360s. It's like, holy crap, how can anybody take this shit? But this is what their drugs do. So the drug didn't fix me. The drug is what killed the pain. As soon as I got out of that hospital, I didn't take any more painkillers. I said, F it. You know, I'll deal with the pain. It'll make me stronger anyway. So, you know, I'm saying this not to make you feel in any way, shape, or form weak or whatever. These drugs are deadly. They're weapons. They're weapons. They're weapons. And that's how they guide everybody through this weaponry. So I'm saying this to you to give you a means to encourage you to get off these things. You don't need to get a prescription refilled. You need to get your bodies back. You need to get your health back. You need to be strong again. You need to have a foundation again. You don't need to take some effing drug to make some doctor's car payment or mortgage payment. Save your money. Stay healthy. It's just my thought. All right. The end of these shows, I'm always referring to the Bible. Read the Gospels, and I continue to tell you to read the Gospels. It's important that you know what's going on. And it seems like the message of the day is in those books. So I'd encourage everybody to read what Jesus had to say. Read the book of Acts, see how the church actually grew, how it had birth pains and growing pains and developing. Read the letters, to the letters of encouragement. Some of you may find great solace in that. Read the book of Revelations. That's the scheduled program for the event. If you read that, you'll know what's going on. That's the playbook they're using. So I encourage you to read the Gospels. I encourage you to read again what Jesus had to say. At the very top of these links here that I present, I always tell everybody to support or suggest that you support people that are there doing things, helping you out in any way, shape, or form that they can. So if you can help them financially, please do so. Anybody you want, that you choose. But if you can't support because you're broke, because you got nothing, because you lost your job, because you wouldn't get the jab, because you took a stand, don't worry about it. I'm glad you took the stand. If you can, though, share the information. Share it with everybody you can. Share. All right. And on that note, like I always say at the end of these shows, by the grace of God, we are still here. So to the next segment, to your health, take care.